And thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in your Bibles tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I enjoy the testimonies, except preacher preach short. Amen. And she doesn't like it because this is the only time she has to be quiet. And I had to say something about that comment she made to me. Amen. But testimonies are great. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank the Lord for just to be able to express our love to God. And that's good. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I want to speak to you tonight on the thought of being partners of the gospel. Partners of the gospel. You know, the gospel is not something that God just wants individuals to do. The gospel works best with partnerships, with people working together to accomplish that goal. And I want to give you that thought tonight. I often preach on the gospel, the soul winning, getting it out, because let me tell you something. What's going to be more important when your life is over? What's going to be more important for this world 100 years from now, after everyone here on this earth is off the face of the earth? There's only one thing that's going to matter, and that's the gospel. Amen. The gospel is what's going to matter. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's begin here with verse number 1, and we're going to read through verse number 12 in this passage of Scripture. Let's begin here. Bible says here, and the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church of Corinth here, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither were yet are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and the other, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom they believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible tonight. Thank you for the truth that, Lord willing, we can preach on tonight. We again need your help. We need your power. We need your spirit tonight. We need to hear, Lord, from God tonight. So help us to have hearts that are open and ready to, Lord, receive something from you tonight, from thy word. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you take thy word tonight, manifest some truth into our heart and our mind, Lord, that we can take with us as we leave this place tonight. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One of the great themes of this passage of Scripture is the fact that Paul is teaching the people here at Corinth that the ministry is partnership. serving the Lord is a partnership. You know, a church is a wonderful thing. I thought of Brother Brandon's testimony tonight, how it fit into this service, how he came to this church and he saw everybody having their arms into some kind of service for the Lord. Everybody's doing something. And you know, it is true that many hands do make the work light. And that's scripture. Did you know that? God, the Apostle Paul told the church, he said, I would that you not be burdened and others eased. That's scriptural. Yeah. It's scriptural to be a partner in the ministry. It's scriptural. God wants us to understand. And I think this passage of scripture brings a lot of the importance of it to light. And it also declares what we should not do as partners in the gospel. So I want to look at it tonight, and I want to look at this all-important subject. Now let me first of all say, and my introduction tonight will not be as long as this morning, so you can be happy about that. But let me first of all say, there is nothing more important that a church be involved in than the spreading of the gospel. Amen. There is nothing more important. Now I like a lot of things that a church does. I enjoy activities. I enjoy the teen activities. I enjoy things that we do in a church, the potlucks. I enjoy this, that, and other. But can I tell you what's important? Have everything focused around the gospel. Have everything available so somebody can hear that gospel and get saved. God didn't give the church so we could just do social work. But I'm not against social work if it gets the gospel to people. Amen. That's the key. And can I tell you what? Every church has to have that understanding. I laugh because during the week, you don't know this, but I get all kinds of things. I get people calling and, hey, Pastor, would you like to be involved in our this, that, and this and the other going on in the community? And you know, I'm not necessarily against things like that, but I tell you what. I want to put my time in where the gospel is going to be spread. Amen. I want to put my heart, my effort in understanding the gospel because I know what it did in my heart. I know what it did in my life. And I know that inside of me, if somebody else can get what God did inside of me, they're going to be thrilled and joyful in life. So the gospel is important. There is nothing more important in the gospel. You know why? Because when you die, and everybody's going to die, what's important? Is it going to matter what you did in life? Is it going to matter what job you had? Is it going to matter what you drove or what kind of home you had? Is that going to matter? No, but I'll tell you what's going to matter. It's going to matter if you were someone who was a partner in the gospel. Amen. A partner in the gospel. Now, we're going to look at some things in this passage of scripture. Now, let me say one thing here as a partner of the gospel, and this is an ecclesiastical doctrine of the church, and I want you to grab a hold of what I'm trying to teach you on this one, because God does not teach that the local independent church should be involved in an ecumenical way with other churches. Now listen to me. God said that a local church, he established that local church, it is its own autonomous body. And the mentality in every local church should be, we are this body of Christ, as he's speaking here to a church, the church of Corinth, and he's saying to that church, hey, you have a duty to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. You have a duty, you have a job. We all have a job to do. And the truth is, not every one of us are equipped to do the entire job. You know, God teaches us to go into the world, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. He also said, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and preach the gospel. How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? I have to partner with somebody to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. And I want to tell you, it is the Great Commission. And it requires partnership. it requires everybody in a church doing one thing, doing what they can to do it. Now, one person says, now, Pastor, I can't do anything. Can I say one word about that? Here's my word, baloney. Baloney. I can't do anything. Oh, hear me. The best word to describe that, and I wish God would have put the word in the Bible, because then I could have called it scriptural. But that's baloney. Everybody has some kind of ability to do something. Everybody does. Everybody has a, you know, a church is like those crochet. I don't want to even talk about the subject because I'm going to make a fool of myself. But a church is like a crocheted quilt. Is that where they take that hook thing and twist it in and out, back and forth, take the yarn, twist it, and before you know it, it looks like something nice. And I'm thinking, how did you just do that? You know, it is all one because it's all interwoven together. That, may I tell you, that is the power of the Church of Jesus Christ to reach people for the gospel. It is everybody doing their strand, their thread, so to speak, finding that thread, that thing you can do, and dedicating yourself to just faithfully serving the Lord in it till the day you die and serve Jesus. And can I tell you, it accomplishes more than you know. You know, there wouldn't be those missionaries out there are getting the gospel. We get letters every week of people getting saved. I wish we could count weekly, or really maybe monthly as the letters come in, how many people are getting saved. But there's hundreds of people collectively in all these missionaries that are getting saved. Amen. There's hundreds of people. And can I tell you what? The missionary can't do it without the church. The church can't do it without the missionary. And the church can't do it without the individual in the church. It all is a network of everybody doing what they can to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about a preacher one time. They were trying to raise money for missions and trying to raise money for something. And he got a crazy idea. He said, all right, let's do this. He took one of them blue plastic barrels. How many ever seen one of those blue plastic barrels? They're lightweight. You seen those? He cut the lid off the top, and he put a sign on it, put whatever you have in for missions. Just put a simple sign on it. He said, every week I went back, that thing was full. That thing was full. He said, I went in there one day and looked in that basket, and there was all this camera equipment. He said, we sold on eBay, got $1,200 for it. Yeah. Now, it seems kind of a crazy thing to do, but I'm thinking about putting 10 barrels out here. Amen. Now, I'm simply saying this. He showed us that everybody can do something. And really, sometimes we can do more than what we think we can do. Sometimes we can, and sometimes we listen to our own excuses and say, I can't do anything. But I want to tell you something. Connect this in your mind. There is nothing more important than getting somebody snatched out of the fire of hell. Amen. Nothing. Right. Nothing. Because nothing else in this life is eternal. But the never-dying soul is eternal. There's only two things on this earth. I preached this before, but I'm going to preach it again because I want to hear it. But there's only two things on this earth that are going to last forever. You know what those two things are? They're this book right here. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
That's right. Amen.
This book's going to last forever. And the second thing that's going to last forever is the never-dying soul. That's it. Nothing else we can take with us. But like one great missionary said, he said, I can't take it with me, but I can send it on ahead.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, that preacher week after week had that blue barrel out there, and God blessed it, and they turned it into something. Because it was something that everybody realized, hey, I can do something to matter for the cause of Christ. You know, I believe if we're praying and we really have a desire to want to do more, God can enable us to do more. God can give us more, enable us to do more. He can create a need. He can accomplish something where there was an emptiness already there to do something for the cause of Christ. I don't know about you, but I have this drive that I live with every day that I want to do something for Christ. I don't want to live my life just doing nothing, twiddling my fingers, stocking up money, and dying so I can give it to a bunch of kids who are going to go out and smoke it, dope it up at the end of their life. That doesn't interest me at all. But I want to send something ahead. I want to send something ahead. Now, notice the scriptures, and let's look at a few things about being a partner in the gospel. Number one, God does not want any individual to take the credit for the gospel. God does not want any individual to take the credit. As I partner and as you partner in the work of getting the Lord Jesus Christ to people, through missions, through soul winning, through vacation Bible school, yada, yada, on and on, junior church, Sunday school, as you get the gospel to people, can I tell you what? Be careful that you don't take the credit. Be careful that you give God the glory. Give God the honor and the glory he deserves. Because without him, there would be no ability in the first place. Notice what happened in the church here. Look at verse number one. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth, he said, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Now that's a sad statement. He's saying to the church here, I can't give you anything spiritual because you just won't accept it.
That's right.
He said, I have to speak to you in a carnal way. The only thing that lights your fire, Corinth, is when I speak to you in carnal terms. Now that's a sad statement in Scripture. He's saying, I can't give you spiritual food because you spit it up like a baby choking on a bone or a pork chop. You don't feed that baby a pork chop, that baby's going to choke on it. So he's saying here, I have to speak to you differently. So what he's trying to get them to understand is that if your life's going to be profitable and you're going to partner and try to accomplish something for God, you have to accept and be willing to hear spiritual truths.
That's right.
That's what he was teaching. Because notice, look at, if you would, at verse number 4. Notice what was happening here. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now think of this. The church said, oh, you know what? I'm of Apollos. Well, you're of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. Let me tell you something. Both Paul and Apollos were saved.
Right. Amen.
Both Paul and Apollos. But they had this carnal mentality in their mind that we're going to cling to this one. This one's our buddy. This is ours. And you know, all it did was bring division and strife.
Right.
It did not bring the partnership that was necessary to accomplish the gospel. It brought a negative spirit. And he had to admonish them in the scriptures by saying, aren't you still carnal? You see, sometimes we have to put aside our own little carnal ideas or our own little carnal understandings to be a fellow laborer together with God to accomplish something for the Lord. Sometimes we have to do that. Well, I wish we could do this, and well, I wish we could do that. Well, sometimes we can't always do everything, but we can do what we can do. But may I tell you what he's saying here, and he's getting in them a mentality. He's trying to get them to grow in this area. And he says here, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. But notice the next statement, God gave the increase.
Amen.
It was God that did it. Well, I have my ministry. This is my ministry, and I'm going to do it. Well, I'm glad somebody feels good about that. But did you know that in that ministry, you're supposed to work together with other ministries?
Right.
Did you know that? I planted, Paulus watered, but it's God that we're working towards. Oh, we have to always remember that. It's God that gives the increase. I wonder sometimes if God stops the increase because of carnal ideas and attitudes that we encumber in our heart and our life. I wonder how much more the Church of Corinth could have done had they not been having these silly little ideas of, I'm with Paul and I'm of Apollos and you people over there and these people over here are saying it's you people over there. Can I tell you what? That is so discouraging to the propagation of the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
It's discouraging. So I'm saying to you tonight, the Apostle Paul addressed the issue because he knew that the gospel was so important that it could not and need not be thwarted by any carnal idea or carnal mentality. So look at verse number 7. Here's what he's trying to get in them. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You know, you go out and lead somebody to the Lord. Do you know who did that? God did that. I did that. You know, some are so overblown with numbers. And I think you ought to go after as many people as you possibly can. But some are counting all the numbers as if the numbers put them in some lofty place of spirituality with others. I had 20 people saved. The next guy, well, I had 22 people saved. You say, preacher, does that go on? I've seen it in churches go on. And they miss this idea. They miss the understanding that we're partners together. We're working together. The Sunday school works with the junior church. The junior church works with the adult Sunday school. The adult Sunday school works with Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is total chaos and they don't work with anybody. No, I'm just kidding. But the idea and the understanding is that nobody gets the credit. It's God that gives the increase. And we give the glory to God for what he does. Hallelujah. That'll make everything we do for the Lord so much more blessed. And it will make our fellowship as God's people in a church so much more joyful and so much more encouraging. Because many times we walk into a church and we just need some encouragement. How many ever just walked into church and you just needed to see a smiling face? You just need it. You just need to see someone who's on top because you're kind of down in the bottom today. I've been there. I've walked down those steps getting ready to preach and thought, oh, Lord, help me today. And I come down here and see some people that are smiling. Can I tell you what? It just seems to change everything. I don't know what it is, but Christian fellowship of people who love the Lord together, it's amazing. It's amazing what it does. So he's saying here, he that planteth and he that watereth, they're not separate. Look at verse 8. He said, he that planteth and he that watereth are what? They're one. We're every one of us are working together for the cause of Jesus Christ. And this may sound crazy to you, but do you know that I've heard people before, not in this church, but I've heard people before say, this is my ministry. This is my ministry. And nobody can say, change it or do anything. This is what I'm going to do. I don't even want the pastor to be involved. This is my ministry. Can I tell you what? They don't have what God's teaching in the scripture.
Amen.
He that planteth and he that watereth are one. We have a purpose. Because the unifying purpose of a church, a local church, I'm not talking about an ecumenical thing, I'm talking about the unifying effect of a local church means the gospel gets out. And by the way, let me throw this in there about the ecumenical movement. When they don't even believe salvation is a by grace through faith, some in the ecumenical movement believe it's through baptism, some through good works, some through church membership, some through sacraments. Hey, when you don't even believe the same way of salvation, how can you partnership? How can you be connected with somebody that's going two different directions? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos chapter 3, verse 3. So understand, Paul is saying, thank God for those who are of Paul. Thank God for those who claim to be of Apollos. But get over it, because you're all one. Amen. You're all one. Okay, so that's what he's saying here about this. All right. Secondly, notice here, we are laboring together, verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Now, God doesn't teach a church should be sitting. Amen? Some people sit and soak and sulk. If you want to sulk, just sit and soak. Amen? If you want to soak, just sit and soak. It's a good ingredient. Boy, I'm a pew sitter, preacher. Show me that in Scripture. Show me that. It's not there. We are what together? Laborers together. That means everybody's got to take a part. It doesn't mean that you can do the same thing somebody else can. It means you have a part. It means that you can do something that God has either enabled you to do, gifted you to do, or equipped you to do. And this is the partnership of the gospel. Number three. Did you know the gospel requires all kinds of partners? Take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 4 with me. The book of Philippians, it teaches us that it takes all kinds. It takes all kinds. Years ago, I started a church in the hills of Oregon, Mount Hood. We had a dear sweet lady at church there. Her name was Charlotte. Charlotte lived in a shack. I've told you this story before, but I want to hear it again. And Charlotte was just dear sweet lady. She lived in a shack alongside the road, and she didn't have any hot water. She didn't have any water, running water in her house. The pipes froze because she didn't have any heat in the house. So she just said, oh, I'll do without water. That was Charlotte. She was a mountain lady. She wore purple velvet pants and cowboy boots. That was Charlotte. And we'd come to church, sing the praises of God, and Charlotte would just light up with joy. I mean, Charlotte was just a bright light. And one day the city came along, and they were going to widen the road, and she lived right next to the road. And she didn't want to, she had a garage that was extended out into the area where the city wanted to widen the road. So they came along to her and said, we want to widen the road, Charlotte. We want to buy your garage. And Charlotte said, no, you're not buying my garage. And she said, what? And they said, well, why can't we buy your garage? We'll give you good money for it. And she said, because my dolls are in there. If you were to go into Charlotte's garage, you'd see it full of dolls, some brand new in the package, years. She probably had a fortune in dolls, but she loved the dolls. She said, no, that whole highway project got held up because of Charlotte's dolls. But eventually she gave in. And she took, and she took, the city paid her $20,000 for her garage so they could widen the road. And she moved all the dolls into the house. And she took the $20,000 that had been given her, and she put it in $100 bills. She folded them up, put them in books, and put all the books of $100 bills in her bookcase. That's what she did with $20,000. And just a dear lady, but funny as they come. When she planted a garden, she tilled up the whole garden, raked out everything, but then she took all her seeds and mixed them all together. Every one of her seeds got mixed together, and she just walked out and spread everything out. The whole garden was a hodgepodge of seeds, a carrot here and a stalk of corn there, and I mean, it was hodgepodge. I went out and scratched my head, looked at her garden. I said, Charlotte, why do you do it that way? She says, oh, I just throw them out there and let God grow whatever he wants to grow. That was Charlotte. But here's what I want to say. One day, Charlotte, missionary, came by. He preached, and I looked at Charlotte. As he was preaching, there were tears in her eyes. God spoke to her heart. God blessed her heart. You ever had your heart just really blessed? Well, God did a work in her heart. And she said, preacher, would you come by after the service? I got something for the missionary. I hoped it wasn't a doll. Amen. But she said, preacher, I got... And I think I kind of knew at that time what she wanted to do. And she'd get in that shelf. She'd open up a book. And she'd pull out a $100 bill here and a $100 bill there. Amen. She put it in my hand. She said, you give it to that missionary. Amen. She said it with tears in her eyes. And it's so strange because God gave a simple lady like her something that she could do for the Lord. And she did it. She used it. She used it for the Lord. I'm saying to you tonight, some plant, some water, God gives the increase. Amen. God gives that increase. What a blessing. Philippians chapter 4. I think I had to turn you there. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Oh, I'm still in Corinthians. Sorry, I got to get to Philippians. It's over here somewhere. You're there. I'm not. Here we go, Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. I entreat ye therefore, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. You see that? True yoke fellow. It means they were working together. They were in a yoke. What was that yoke? That was the propagation of the gospel. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now notice that he said here, there's Clement, there's some ladies there. He said there's some people here, and they all are partnering with me as fellow laborers, and we're yoked together, we're yoke fellows. And he's telling the church at Philippi that they're coming to be a help and a blessing to you. Greet them, help them. Be a part, because they're working together in the gospel. They're working together in the gospel. I will tell you, it takes all kinds of partners. The small, the little, the big, the insignificant. You know, the person that is lacks confidence, if they do what they can for the Lord, they can get a lot of joy out of it in life. The underdog, the one who's always been knocked around in life, the one who's never had the one who's never been the star athlete, or the one that's never won anything, they too can be a yoke fellow, a fellow laborer in the gospel. The one who is shy, doesn't feel good around crowds, and doesn't even feel like living, don't want any attention to themselves, and are even shy to pray in church or in public, they too, God says, can be a part of accomplishing something for God. The one who doesn't have anything still can do something for God to get the gospel to somebody. You see, When our Lord left, he gave different talents to people, didn't he? He gave some five, some two, some one. And the truth is, it didn't matter how much you had. It matters to the master that you did something with the what he gave you. That's what mattered. And boy, I believe if people will get a hold of the truth, they can find great joy in accomplishing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me close here by going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So go back there, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And let me close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, notice verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. See, God has given you the grace of God to be a wise master builder. You need grace to build your life. You need grace to do something for God. It's the grace of God that enables us to do more for the Lord Jesus. Grace. And he said, according to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now notice what he's saying here. He's saying, the apostle Paul here, he's saying, I put the foundation down there. I laid the foundation. But someone else is going to come in and raise the rest of the building. Now, that's a construction tactic. They do that in construction. Some people specialize in doing the foundation, getting the footings, the foundation, everything ready to go. And then the construction company moves in, and from there, they build upon there. Now, that construction company builds up upon that foundation's there based on what is already on that foundation. They can't say, oh, okay, well, let's make an extension over here. Let's add a doohickey building over here. Let's add a shed on this side. No, they got to go in accordance to the foundation that's already laid. And then he builds upon it. Can I tell you what every church is about? It's about laying right foundations. Amen. So that the next time somebody comes in and starts building upon it. Well, I'll tell you one of the things that burdens me, one of the things that bothers me as a preacher, someday I'm going to get old. Someday I'm going to pass on. Someday somebody's going to have to step in here and build upon what we're building on. And man alive, I'll tell you what would kill me if some liberal preacher didn't care about the gospel, didn't care about people, stepped in here and built nothing, did nothing with it. Boy, I'll tell you what, that would be a nightmare scenario. Because you see, I'm not here in this church just for this life. I'm not, God didn't call me here just for this time. He called me to build a foundation and to go up with that foundation even long after you and I are gone. I thank God for Brother Jerry Moore. Brother Jerry Moore, he's a retired pastor down in Duncan. But in 1967, he came, he started this church. And a few years ago, Brother Moore, I always wondered how God called Brother Moore to Moore. I've always asked, how's that happen? He said it was a God. He started this church, planted this church. 1967, I was in diapers. Now, I don't want to paint any pictures in your mind, okay? But it's true. Wipe the thought away, okay? 1969, I was a baby. But he came in, started this church. He started a foundation here. And you know what? He'd tell you, I'm nothing. And I told him, I'm nothing. We're just building on the same foundation. We're just trying to keep the same foundation going and building. He said, thank God. Thank God the work. It blessed him to know that the work that he put in here is still going on. Thank God for that. What a blessing. And by the way, if I die someday and you move some liberal preacher in here, I'm going to come back and haunt every service. I'll be under your pew. Oh, yeah, I will. I'll be up here and you'll hear, don't walk in here in the middle of the night because I'm going to scare you half to death. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying to you tonight, I'm just saying, we're trying to build something not just for today. I would love it if these kids or kids in our junior church grew in the Lord, God called them to preach, and one of them come back someday and pastor Moore Baptist Church. Amen. And just keep building on the foundation that God's started with Jerry Moore, other pastors that have came along after Brother Moore, me, and just keeps right on going. And you know why I want that? Because I'm nothing. They're nothing. What is something, though, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is what is worth living up for. So he's saying we're building and somebody else is stepping in and building. But he said this, take heed how every man, verse 10, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Build your life. Be a Christian who unites together with a local church and has a heart to get the gospel to some lost dying soul. Boy, they need it. Boy, this whole world is lost and dying. And unless they get the gospel through a church who works together, partners together, they'll never hear it. They'll never hear it. I just want to tell you something. I talked to Brother Vara last night. Brother Vara is our missionary. We've supported the Varas for at least 20 years. Brother Vara is the Oklahoma City jail chaplain. He works with all those that come into the jail of Oklahoma City. And I said, Brother Vara, I called Brother Vara, I said, I know you work at Cleveland. I know you work at Oklahoma City. Can you go to Cleveland County and visit Jeremy? He said, yeah. He kind of knew a little bit of what was going on, and I kind of filled him in on that. He said, yeah, I can go there. He said, where do you think he'll be? And I told him I assumed that eventually he'd be end up in Lexington. And I said, he said, oh, really? He said, you won't believe it. He said, you won't believe it. He said, something's going on there. He said, they are training prisoners down there to be pastors. And one of the former pastors of this church has a brother who is down there running it. And he's working down there. And they've got like 30 men that are training down there in Lexington to be preachers. So when they get out, they can give the gospel. So, you know, that'd be a dichotomy of my pastor was in jail before. So I don't know how that all works out or comes out in the wash. But they're working with them. That prison down there has had 13 people saved recently. Prisoners in that prison. And I want you to know something. God knows what he's doing.
That's right. Amen.
Even though we have no idea. We don't have a clue. But I want to tell you something. God is doing work. And any open heart, and I've never met a more open-hearted man than Jeremy McKenna. Never in my life. Loves God. He told me years ago, he said, preacher, I want you to train me. I want you to teach me. Get me grounded in Scripture and the Bible. He said, because someday I may be in prison and I may have, that may be my ministry. And I'll be honest with you. God works in mysterious ways, and I wouldn't have wanted this. And I know he wouldn't have wanted. We don't ask for stuff like that, but somehow, some way, God knows what he's doing. And let me tell you something. This life isn't in the hands of politicians.
Amen.
It isn't in the hands of people who have all the money. Don't be fooled. They think they have control. Let me tell you something. There's a God who's in control. There's a God who knows what's going on in this world. So he said, take heed how you build upon it. You're building a life. We're building a church of people trying to see people saved. He said, just make sure you do it the right way. Have the right doctrines. Have the right truth. Have the right spirit. Have the right actions. And let God knit together what he's doing for the cause of Christ and for souls to be saved. I say to you tonight, we're all fellow laborers. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're all just pitching in where we can do what something, and God can use it in a great way. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.